Welcome to the Faith Life Fellowship Podcast with Dr. Scott Forrest. In today's message, Dr. Forrest presents the conclusion of his series, The Nine Gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord, the Nine Gifts of the Spirit, Part 5, Amen. You know, we've been talking about the nine supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we left off last week talking about something we call the vocal gifts, because they involve speaking. Sometimes they're also called inspirational gifts, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And you find those gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, so there's one of them, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, there's another one, to another, the interpretation of tongues, there's the final one. We've got prophecy, we got tongues, interpretation of tongues, all mentioned in our base scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. So what we're going to do, we're going to back up and recover some of the material that we covered last week so that we've got a little continuity going as we delve further into the gifts of the Spirit, especially the vocal gifts. So let me begin by repeating the last two major points that we made before we wrapped up part four. Number one, speaking in tongues is a gift of God that is available to all born-again, Spirit-filled believers. Number two, speaking in tongues is a divine source of communication that makes powerful prayer and communion with the Father possible. Psalm 42, verse 7, we read this last week, but I really feel like we need to cover it again. Psalm 42, verse 7. Now, I believe this is one of several Old Testament types of New Testament speaking with tongues. Psalm 42, 7 says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. Amen. Waves obviously are waves that billows, we would call them crashers, you know, the waves that crash on your head and knock you down. Three times in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John mentions the voice of the Lord and says things like, I heard the voice of the Lord, and it was like the voice of many waters. So many times in Scripture, the voice of the Lord and even the voice of your own human spirit are likened to rushing, turbulent, flowing water. Amen. John 7, 37 through 39 is another great example of this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So you see here in these two scriptures that sometimes water can be the Lord speaking to you, and sometimes water can be you speaking to Him. Amen? 1 Corinthians 14, 14 in the Amplified Classic. This is an awesome scripture. If I had to pick one scripture to argue why every believer needs to pray in tongues, this one would be it. Says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit, and helps nobody. This tells me when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me is taken hold together with my spirit and praying out exactly what I need when I need it. Amen. Amen. And it says the mind is unproductive. That's because praying in tongues is not a mental thing. It is a spiritual thing. It comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the brain. And this has been experimentally verified in secular universities who've wired up people's brains, and they have kept track of the imagery going on in their brain functions. And they have had people that said or claim to speak with tongues first start out in their native language. And then at some point, they'll say, now switch over to tongues. And when they switch over to tongues, something funny happens. When they're speaking in their native tongues, the speech center of the brain is red hot with activity. But the minute they switch over to tongues, the speech center goes silent, indicating to the researchers, we're not sure where this is coming from, but it's not coming from your mind. It's coming from the Spirit. We know that because the Bible says so. Amen? I felt the anointing on that. Praise God. Whew. Hallelujah. All right. This would be my second choice if I was to argue the case for praying in tongues. Romans 8, 26, 27 in the Amplified Classic. Paul says to the Romans, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit Himself, listen to this, knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Listen to this, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. Brother Scott, I'd like to pray prayers that are always in the will of God. I recommend you spend some time praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, because the Bible says when you do, you're praying perfect intercession. You're praying the perfect will of God. It's the only time in your life you can say that for sure. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, in this first verse here, it says we don't know how to pray as we ought. If I ask for a show of hands, I guarantee you every hand in here would go up that there have been times in your life when so much was so going on, so much was whirling around in your head, and you tried to pray and you didn't even know where to start. Everybody's felt that. That's when you turn to the Spirit. That's when you turn on the flow of the rivers of living water and let God, let the Holy Spirit take a hold of your spirit and pray the right thing for you at the right time. Amen. Glory to God. I've been praying in the Spirit for almost 50 years, so, you know, people have tried to talk me out of it, but take your best shot. That's what I say. Now, what this scripture says to me, verse 26 and verse 27, is that when we don't know how to pray and we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, it allows the Spirit of God to take us beyond the limitations of our human mind, even beyond the limitations of our native tongue. And when you do that, Katie bar the door, you can pray for anything. Amen? And know that it's perfect intercession for you, for your loved ones, for your fellow saints, for your nation, for the world. Another thing you can do is pray out your destiny by praying in other tongues. Proverbs 20, verse 5. This is another Old Testament scripture that I believe is a type of New Testament speaking in tongues. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Isn't that a picture of rivers of living water coming out of you? And when it comes out, it brings counsel. Some translations say this, plans and purposes in the heart of man are like deep water, but a man or a woman of understanding will draw them out. As you pray in the Holy Ghost, the plan that God put into your little embryo the moment you were conceived becomes activated in your mind and your heart. The steps to get that plan fulfilled in your life will begin to come to you at the appropriate time. Hey, it's time to take this step. Okay, that one's done. Let's take this step. Okay, we're at a fork in the road. Take the left, not the right fork. And you can pray out your destiny by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm trying not to get drawn in that direction because this is not about the benefits of praying in the Spirit. But there's so many, I had to spend a little bit of time talking about it. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's press on to interpretation of tongues. We have a definition up there. Interpretation of tongues is the ability to give forth an interpretation of a supernatural utterance in tongues. Amen. If tongues is the ability to speak in a language you never learned, whether it's earthly or heavenly, then surely interpretation of tongues is the ability to give forth an interpretation of a supernatural utterance in tongues. Do you see that? They are companion gifts. They should work together. Amen. One thing to note about interpretations, they are not a word-for-word translation. So you might get a lengthy burst in tongues, and then the brother who gets to interpret goes, and the Lord says he loves us. You know? Or vice versa, you might get a very short word in tongues, and then somebody shares the book of Isaiah with you, you know? Amen. So just keep that in mind if you see this gift in operation. Let's read 1 Corinthians 14, 12, and 13. Brings out some points I really want to emphasize. It says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. You see, the Corinthian church was out of control in the gifts of the Spirit. Everybody was talking in tongues at the same time. Everybody was prophesying to each other at the same time. It was not being done decently in an order. It was chaos and confusion. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So if you're going to talk in tongues, do it this way. Verse 13, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. If you're so zealous of speaking in tongues, pray that you interpret what you say so the people will understand what God is saying to them. Do you see that? I shared last week when Trisha and I were in Corpus Christi, Texas. I was in a small Bible study group, a meeting that I got invited to, and Trish was with me, and we were praying in a circle, you know, the old charismatic circle, praying in the Holy Ghost, just waiting for God to speak, and then all of a sudden I felt emboldened to give a message in tongues, and I just let it rip. I was bold. I was loud. I sounded authoritative. And then I sat back and I said, okay, now somebody else can give the interpretation. There was a one potato, two potato, three potato. Nobody's going to do it. And my heart started beating. My palms got sweaty. I said, Lord, what do I do? I don't want to be out of order. He said, ask me for the interpretation. I'm like, where is that in the Bible? Well, we just read it. I just didn't know it back then. He said it again, ask me for the interpretation. I said, okay, Lord, give me the interpretation. He said, start speaking and the rest will come. I'm like, what? You know, it's kind of like step of faith time, you know? So after arguing with the Lord for a few seconds, I just finally started talking. I shared this last week, but I'll share it again. It seemed like I was pulling words out of the air. The word of the Lord, you know? Says, and I got about that far into it, and all of a sudden, because of my obedience, it just came. And I started speaking to a girl there. I said, there's a young girl here. You've been so depressed. This morning, you were contemplating suicide. Who is that? And this girl across the circle, she started crying. She said, that's me. How did you know? I said, I didn't know. The Holy Ghost did. But he wants you to know God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Don't take your own life. Amen? If I had not been obedient, that never would have happened. I can't say for sure that she would have killed herself, but at least we got her out of the depths of depression where she wasn't thinking about suicide anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Another variation of interpretation of tongues that I really wanted to cover was, you know, oftentimes people who are praying in tongues and they're enjoying it, they will come to me and say, will I ever understand what I'm saying? And I say, yes, just keep it up. Eventually, there will be times where you'll be praying in the Spirit. This happens to me often, and I can hear in my mind, I can hear the words. I can hear what I'm praying in my own language. It will happen from time to time. There will be even times where you'll get an interpretation where guidance is given to you. Just like I said, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will pull it out. Amen. So real quickly, in the summer of 87, coming up to the end of our time in the Marines down in Corpus Christi, we had a choice of either staying there for two more years or going and doing something different. I was really feeling a call of the Lord on my life towards ministry. So I wanted to leave active service to give me more flexibility for ministry. So that summer, I prayed and I fasted. Not the whole summer, not every meal, but you know what I mean. I was working at the headquarters building on base, and we lived on base. And so I would drive home. It was about a five-minute drive. I would kiss my wife. She would fix her lunch, and I'd go to the back bedroom, and I would pray in tongues for 45 minutes, hour, and then I would go back to work. And I did this for a period of about 6 weeks, just seeking the Lord. Said, Lord, what do I do with my life? Where am I headed? What do you have for me? And so one day, I just felt like I needed to take a pad of paper and a pencil into the bedroom with me to pray. And so I got on my knees. You know, I'm not really a knees guy, and I had pillow down there. But I got on my knees, and I'm praying the Lord, had my pad of paper and my pencil on the bed there, and I got about 30 minutes into praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, I started saying something in English, and it didn't sound like something I would say. I knew that I was speaking, but I knew that it was being directed by the Holy Spirit, and so when it was all said and done, there was a three-part plan, 1, 2, 3. Each of them had individual tasks I was to perform over the next few years to sort of guide me down the path that the Lord had for me. I won't go into detail, but I will say this, that one moment spent in the presence of God, interpreting my own tongues in the Spirit, charted the course of my life for the next 22 years. One moment. So when I tell you that tongues is very powerful, it is very, very powerful. You know, no wonder the devil fights it so hard, you know. Here's a saying that I have. The top two lies of the devil. Number one, I do not exist. Number two, tongues is of the devil. People have told me before, tongues is of the devil. I say, people who say tongues is of the devil are of the devil. So there. Amen. You know, I can be childish sometimes. All right, praise the Lord. Let's talk about the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue, in your native tongue, the language you speak, and probably the language of the people that you're speaking to. In its simplest form, listen to me, it is a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort that God channels through you to the people. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 14:3. You know, edification means to build up. Exhortation means to cheer on, encourage people to do great things for God. And then comfort, you comfort those that are hurting or have suffered loss. Amen. All right, so the Hebrew word for prophecy means to flow forth, to flow forth. But the Greek word for prophecy means to speak for another, to speak for another. So a word of prophecy flows forth from an individual as the Spirit of God moves on them. When they speak by the Spirit, they are speaking for or representing God. Do you see that? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, it could be something as simple as, hey, I'm not sure what's going on in your life. I sense there's trouble in your life, but I'm here to tell you that God is for you. He's with you. He's in you. It's going to be okay. That is a prophetic word. Because it's edification, exhortation, it's comfort. You see that? That's the simple gift of prophecy. All right, let's talk about the simple gift of prophecy versus the prophet's ministry. You know, the simple gift of prophecy should not be confused with the fivefold ministry of the prophet that you find over there in Ephesians 4:11. It says that Jesus led captivity captive, and then he released gifts to men. He released the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, evangelist. So just because you have a prophetic word doesn't make you a prophet. You're not standing in the office of the prophet, although you might be. I'm just saying. Amen. When the prophet of God speaks, as opposed to the simple gift of prophecy, he brings forth revelation directly from the heart of God. You know, The prophet of God flows in revelation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom on a continual basis, and with a powerful anointing behind it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've got plenty of people in here that are prophetic, and I like that. I am prophetic too. I have prophetic dreams. I have prophecies that come forth from time to time. Occasionally, it will have to do with national issues, but I am not a prophet. Amen. There's a passage in Acts chapter 21 that illustrates the distinction perfectly. Acts chapter 21, verse 8 through 11. We'll be reading in the English Standard Version. On the next day, we departed and came to Caesarea, that's Paul and his company, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. So the first thing I want you to see is Philip had daughters that prophesied, but when Agabus came, they called him a prophet. Do you see the difference? And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Amen. We're talking about the number one leader in the body of Christ at the time, the Apostle Paul. So Agabus, in my mind, had to be a prophet to even be able to speak into the life of Paul. Do you see that? You can't just be somebody that's operating in the simple gift of prophecy and share the destiny of the man who leads the early church. You see that? Okay, but I want you to know that there is historic tradition and some evidence that leads us to believe that when these four daughters got married, they went on to be great prophets of God. Okay, so it's not like they couldn't aspire to be and they weren't in training to be prophets of God, but at this particular time, they were not qualified to speak into the life of somebody like the Apostle Paul. See that? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, so what we call prophesying really is a lot of times just word of knowledge and word of wisdom flowing through you towards an individual or towards the church. Okay? Word of knowledge, if you remember, is supernatural knowledge given to you by the Holy Spirit about somebody in their present or past. And word of wisdom is about the future. So if you start talking about somebody's past or talking about their future by the Spirit, you know, we generically call that prophesying, but it's really word of knowledge and word of wisdom. But it's okay. Everybody knows what you're talking about when you say, "So-and-so prophesied to me and he read my mail." Everybody knows what that means, right? He told me things there's no way he could have known unless the Spirit told him. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, that's about all I'm going to cover on prophecy. Just remember this, of all the gifts of the Spirit, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, the Holy Spirit says, the number one on your list should be prophecy. You should want to prophesy so that you edify, exhort, and comfort your brothers and sisters in Christ. So I encourage you on Sunday mornings, listen, you know, the growth experts have told me, don't do gifts of the Spirit on Sunday. You'll never grow. Well, it's the only service we got, so we're going to do it. Do you think they didn't do it in Paul's day? We're going to do it decently in an order, but we're going to do it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd rather be out there on the edge, probing the boundaries, than just shutting the Holy Ghost down. What a dangerous place to be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So what I want to do for the rest of the time that we have this morning is talk about how to flow in the gifts decently in an order. I rarely hear anybody teach on this, so I thought I'd give it a first try. So appropriate grace, please. What we're going to do is we're going to go through 1 Corinthians 14, some of the major passages. We're not going to read the whole chapter. And I'm going to break it down for you. And you'll see that there are some common sense guidelines that you can follow to flow in the gifts decently and in order. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 through 5. All of this will be New King James Version. Now, I don't have time to rehash all of what we talked about these first five verses today, but you can go back and listen to part 4 on the podcast and hear it in detail. All right, so 1 Corinthians 14, starting at verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now, we talked about the significance of these first five verses last week, but as I said, go back and listen to part 4 to hear all that in detail. But here's some of the things we learned last week. Love should be your primary motivation for wanting to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. If it's just to lift yourself up, make you look spiritual in the eyes of others, that's not a good motivation. All right, tongues directed toward God does not need an interpretation. He knows every language in the universe, whether earthly or heavenly. Tongues directed toward God, the Bible says it edifies or builds up the one who is speaking or praying. Listen, there is even scientific evidence to back that up. At Oral Roberts University, they did immune system studies in which they found that people who speak in tongues on a regular basis boost their immune system by as much as 40 to 60%. So there's physical benefits as well as spiritual benefits to speaking in tongues. You know, these days, don't you want to have a good immune system with everybody trying to scare you to scare the daylights out of you? I was going to say something else. I'm like, hey, wait a minute, I'm church. I can't say that. They're trying to scare you, make it worse than it really is, you know. Just take some vitamin D and pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, I'm not making light of this. I've got friends that are really suffering with COVID, so don't take me wrong. All right. Tongues directed toward God does not need an interpretation. Tongues directed toward man does, in order to edify or build up the church. Amen. And then finally, tongues with interpretation is equivalent to prophecy. Amen. If you give a message in tongues, follow it up with an interpretation, it is considered to be prophetic. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, 12 and 13. We read this already. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Because of what happened to me that I shared just a moment ago in that Bible study there in Corpus Christi, I have a rule of thumb that I apply to myself. Lord, if you lead me to give a word in tongues, I'm going to believe you for the interpretation because I'm not going to be left hanging again. And he has always honored that. He's always honored that. Okay. But listen, if you're not quite there in your faith to believe for someone else to interpret or even for you to interpret, you know, then just kind of keep it to yourself. Don't put it out there if you're not sure there's somebody willing to give an interpretation. All right. Praise the Lord. Remember, as you endeavor to move and operate in the gifts, if you miss it, guess what? There is no condemnation. We're all still learning. I've been walking in the gifts for 35 years, and I still miss it every once in a while. I don't beat myself up about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 33. There's a lot of verses, but I'm going to break it down when we finish. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification. Now, This is a two-sided thing here. On the one hand, he's saying this is good, but you're all coming at once. So in verse 27, he says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, which I just mentioned, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means you're in control of your spirit. You can prophesy when you want to, and you can give a message in tongues when you want to, provided it is led by the Spirit. But you're controlling your own tongue, and you have control. Verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Sorry, let me summarize. That's a lot of information, and I spent a lot of time meditating on it. I've been teaching it for years, so let me summarize and break down what's being said here. What Paul is saying is that there are limitations because of time when we operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Two or three tongues with interpretation, two or three prophetic words so that everyone has a chance to speak as they're led of the Lord. Also, this needs to be done one at a time to avoid confusion. If everybody's prophesying or giving messages in tongues at the same time, what you got is chaos and confusion, and that is not of God. The Bible says God's not the author of confusion. Listen to this. It's also implied that you should keep your word as brief as possible. Once again, so everybody has a chance to speak if they have something from the Lord. If you get a word that someone else speaks before you have a chance to give yours, and it's the same word that you had, dang, I had the same thing. You're in control of your spirit, and you should just choose not to share it. Just be thankful that the word got out there. Amen? It's happened to me many times. I got that exact word. I said it a little different, but it was exactly what I had. I'm sure there's people in here that that's happened to. All right, something else to keep in mind. If the Lord gives you a word, don't turn it into a sentence. If he gives you a sentence, don't make it a paragraph. Don't outrun the anointing on that word and carry on in the flesh. It'll fall flat. I've seen it many times. Just be as sensitive as you can to flow in the Spirit and keep that from happening. All right, finally, our last two verses, 1 Corinthians 14, 39 and 40. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Wow, that's in the Bible? Well, Pastor so-and-so or Deacon so-and-so said, don't speak in tongues, it's not for today. Do not forbid to speak with tongues. But, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. You know, I love the way that Paul caps off this portion of this letter to Corinthians. He's saying, in effect, don't let the corrective words that I've given you concerning tongues make you shrink back from this powerful gift. Just keep it in perspective and seek first to prophesy for the building up of the church. And don't get as crazy as you've been getting lately. Make sure you stay in the flow of the Spirit and do things decently and in order. Amen? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the conclusion of Dr. Forrest's message, The Nine Gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you are in the Wilmington area and are looking for a place to worship, come join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. for coffee and fellowship and 10:30 for worship and service. If you would like to learn more about us and hear more of Dr. Forrest's teachings, visit our website at gofaithlife.com. Also, visit and like our Facebook page at Faith Life Wilmington.